Welcome, everyone. My name is Kellen Wagner Ramsdell. I am the director of Arete's threat intelligence team, and I'm joined today by my lead threat intelligence consultant, Trenton Howard, and our threat intelligence consultant, Daniel Cronin. The threat intelligence team at Arete is responsible for performing attribution on every ransomware and extortion engagement Arete works. This means we are the team responsible for looking at all aspects of adversaries in cyberspace to understand their operations and learn about what they're doing so we can help victims defend themselves and respond better. In today's podcast, we'll be focused on 2025 July stats and data. We will see which threat actors were the most active in July and how their use of various tools, exploits, and malware enabled their attacks against victims. We will dive deep into some of the top and emerging groups and understand the upcoming risks to victims. With that, I'll turn to the team.
So if you could sum up July in one word, that word would be Akira. They were definitely the top threat group we've had. And pretty much since July, any new engagement we get, it's safe to say that it's probably going to be Akira. They started 2025 as our top threat group in January and February, largely exploiting a SonicWall vulnerability, which will be a theme that we'll touch on again quite shortly. In July, over 30% of the activity that we saw was from Akira, and it's continued. So far, I know this is on July, but so far in August, we're not even a little over a week in, and they've already been over 60% of our new engagements that we've gotten this month.
Something that kind of stuck out to me is in conversations with our threat actor negotiations team, we were discussing some of the changes we've seen in Akira, notably two distinct changes. One, their communications have always been fairly like polished and not super aggressive. But ever since this recent campaign or exploitation of the SonicWall vulnerability with recent Akira cases, they've seen an increase in both aggression and then also just temperament and patience from the group during negotiations. Honestly, probably just because they have so many individuals that they are, or so many victims that they're trying to communicate with and extort, I can see how, you know, that would be overwhelming. The other thing is that Akira's communication infrastructure has always been fairly reliable, but they've actually been seeing quite a bit of ups and downs with that infrastructure over the past, let's say, 30 days or so since we've seen this big increase. So they may be having issues dealing with the amount of engagements or amount of victims that they are attempting to extort all at once.
And so you touched on what is likely driving this new uptick in Akira. And it does appear to be a SonicWall vulnerability. At first, it was unknown if it was a zero day or kind of what they were exploiting. So as of August 7th, SonicWall gave an update saying that the recent Akira attacks are exploiting a Gen 7 firewall with SSL VPN enabled, but the exploit's an older vulnerability rather than a zero-day flaw. So attackers are supposedly targeting CVE-2024-40766, which was an unauthorized access flaw fixed in August 2024. This one we've talked about on these podcasts. We've written about in our crimeware reports. It was a critical access flaw in the Sonic OS that did lead to quite a few attacks, not just from Akira, but from other groups. Flog was another one. There was another handful of groups that were exploiting it in late 2024 and even as early as 2025. And according to SonicWall, that's what this current vulnerability is that is, again, being exploited by Akira.
Now, we're seeing some clients start to, and some victims of this latest Akira activity, targeting whatever flaw in Gen 7 firewalls with SSL VPN enabled from SonicWall. They're saying, no, we updated, we patched a while back, or at some point, some certainly would have been vulnerable at the time of their attack. But some are saying, no, they are starting to evaluate a potential role for some service accounts they were unaware of. So this is definitely an evolving situation. To Dan's point, we saw CVE-2024-40766 play a big role in the ransomware landscape in the last year or so. It was really It drove a massive wave of attacks back in October of last year, primarily Akira and Fog, but multiple other groups exploited, as Dan said. But then we saw Akira move off of that at the start of the year. You know, they were our kind of 2024 regulars, the most stable, most consistent group across the entire year. And they continued that stability through the start of the year, but they went back to exploiting a lot of other vulnerabilities and firewalls and VPNs. Some Sonic Walls still, but certainly also FortiGate, and Akira has a specialization in Cisco ASA firewalls. So we saw them go back to that activity prior to their hiatus. Then they took their little break. May was very quiet. We wondered where Akira went. We still aren't totally sure what they were doing, but them coming out of the gates and returning with a massive wave of attacks, really starting around 15 July. Indicates some potential staging activity, although to Trenton's point, it sounds like they maybe weren't prepping their infrastructure for that influx. Not to say that Akira is the only one still exploiting that vulnerability. We saw Kwilin be very active in June, really, really successfully gaining entry to a lot of different victims. They carried that through to the start of July, the end of July, and towards the beginning of August. They were trying to make a play to maybe push back against some of Akira's dominance. But several Kwilin engagements, we're seeing that they are also exploiting CVE-2024-40766. So as much as we've talked about Sonic Wall throughout this year being the gift that keeps on giving to threat actors, apparently that's going to continue through the summer.
Yeah, and Kwilin's still, they were the most active group in June. They were second most active in July and again so far in August. Kira still seems the top one, but if it's not Akira, chances are it's Kwilin that is the group that is showing up frequently when we have scoping calls.
And both groups are part enabled with their success. You know, we're hammering the vulnerabilities right now, but they do both use the bring your own vulnerable driver technique to kill endpoint detection and response technologies in client and victim environments. A very common technique. Again, we've talked about it a lot over the last year, where threat actors download legitimate drivers. So your EDR, your antivirus is going to say this is a legitimate tool. They're going to allow it. Threat actors then exploit that to get the privileges or accesses that they need to disrupt that EDR tool. And so both of these groups have been using vulnerable drivers, slightly different vulnerable drivers, but that's enabling some of their success as well.
Another group we saw in July, which I find pretty interesting, is the Shinobi group. Looking at some of the similarities or some of their infrastructure, we see a lot of similarities between them and the Lynx ransomware group. Things like overlapping code, infrastructure. If you look at their data leak site on Tor, they just changed the name and an image. I mean, it's almost an exact copy of what you expect if you looked at Lynx versus Shinobi groups. Even down to the ransomware encryptor, definitely has a pretty high percentage of code overlap between the two executables. We don't entirely know if we're looking at a rebrand or if we're looking at that Lynx potentially sold access to their infrastructure and encryptor. Not entirely sure there because we are still seeing or have been still seeing continued Lynx operations. Probably more to come on that as we, you know, wait and see, hey, is Lynx going to continue operations? Are they going to kind of finish what they had initial access and then go off into the sunset, and we'll just see Shinobi group, or if they're going to continue operations simultaneously. Probably more to come on that, but another threat group that we're tracking.
It definitely may end up being another one of those situations, right, where we have a subgroup or some kind of relationship where there's a value in the handoff, like we saw with the creation of Fog as a counterpart to Kira, you know, where Fog was targeting the victims that maybe were a little higher risk that could trigger law enforcement response. So Akira was insulated from that. There's certainly a past precedence there. When we look at Lynx, when they emerged, they had significant overlaps with Inc. All three groups are now operational at the same time with overlapping encryptors, with overlapping tool usage, although we're seeing some distinctiveness in TTPs with Shinobi, but to Trenton's point, not really sure what exactly is happening there, but definitely some diversification in the threat landscape as threat actors potentially try and make it a bit harder for law enforcement to identify who is the attack and who's responsible and just build some redundancy in their operations.
I mean, we've definitely seen groups where they'll pop up and they will kind of be like the extortion arm of another ransomware group or some sort of diversification of risk perspective. What I thought was interesting about that is how much of the threat landscape does Lynx really dominate to need that diversification of risk?
Like, at least Akira and Fog were really active when they were doing that diversification. Mm-hmm. Lynx was fairly quiet, and actually Ink was on the rise when Lynx and Sinnobi started. So it's a bit curious what's happening with those three.
And it bears throwing out that if it ends up ultimately being a rebrand, it will be the laziest, most obvious rebrand in the history of threat actor rebrands, because it can't be overstated that if you go to a Sinnobi group chat or their data leak site, if you close your eyes and just reimagine the Lynx logo on it, it's the exact same thing. A straight up carbon copy.
Well, I mean, on that note, we saw in July a kind of subgroup potential come out of Quilin, which had similarly lazy attempts at rebranding with their Securotrop subgroup. They started sending ransom notes that were just Securotrop with a new DLS, except the links to the negotiation chats still said Quilin. So it was even lazier than the Sinnobi and Lynx. At least I don't think Sinnobi called themselves Lynx anywhere. And everyone's just like, all right, it's still Quilin. It's just for some reason, some affiliates are kind of breaking out as the Securotrop. Some are breaking out as, and they're not using the Quilin name in their notes, but then they point to the Quilin DLS and the Quilin chat site. So it's like, well, you tried not very hard, but I guess you did try. A lot of interesting choices on the threat actor landscape in July.
And then a last subgroup that we did see, group that goes by Crux, claimed to be a subgroup of the Blackbyte ransomware group that, shoot, I don't think we've seen them since, what, 2023, 2022? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Stepping outside of the groups and how they were operating and their decisions and choices, as we did see the continuation of drama in the cyber underground this month in July, we've talked about the vulnerabilities and even EDR killers enabling the success. But one of the tactics that's continued to be fairly useful to threat actors this summer has continued to be the click fix technique, and now joined by the file fix technique. Most recently, we saw the Interlock ransomware group deploying remote access trojans via a variation of the click fix technique, which is now what's spinning out into the file fix techniques, which I found when I first read about click fix like a year ago, I was like, there's no way this is successful. There's no way that many users fall for it, because it involves using a deceptive CAPTCHA challenge to trick users into executing malicious PowerShell code scripts. I was like, no user is going to copy and paste code and put run in their computer. And we've just seen it be increasingly adopted. And now we've seen this file fix technique.
Well, so the file fix operates very similarly to the click fix. So just kind of recapping, click fix, you'll get that CAPTCHA you've seen on other sites, verify that you're a human. There's a little button that says, I'm not a robot. And you click that. And what it's doing is it's copying malicious code to the user's clipboard. And then like a follow-up prompt that is like verification steps, press Windows button plus R and then Control V and press enter, and kind of tricking them to executing that scripts on the system to gain unauthorized access. What FileFix is doing is pretty much the same trick, except instead of doing it on the system, they're doing it on like Windows File Explorer, that they're copying that malicious code then into File Explorer and going that way. So hence the FileFix variation of the name.
So not a lot of novelty in July. And in fact, July was almost a return to the old standard bearers with just the dominance of Akira and then Quilin. But the threat actors are still having success against victims. And it looks to be a really, really tough month for organizations in August if there was a time to update your patch management policies. And if you have a SonicWall device, check those. It's definitely coming out of July and going into this August.
And I think we'll be talking about Akira again next month as well.
Probably a pretty good bet. Thank you for joining us this month as we discuss stats from July. If you found today's episode valuable, hit the follow button on Spotify to catch new episodes packed with expert insights and actionable advice. For more on Arete's solutions and our mission to create a world free from cyber extortion, visit us at areteir.com. If you'd like to connect or have questions, contact our marketing team at marketing@areteir.com. For immediate support with an active cyber incident, please contact us at Arete911@areteir.com. Until next time, stay safe and secure.